Hold on. But at the same time, there was a moment in your journey where maybe you lost your people skills. Possibly. It's hard because we don't have a parallel universe. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the time when you choked an official. Tell us about that story.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if, because it wasn't like this. It was like taking him, I don't know how you call it when you take somebody in your arm like this. But basically, I was sick at that point. I think I had malaria, but they didn't know it yet. I wasn't diagnosed. I was just really sick, diarrhea, very weak. I had to walk a lot to go to the bonobos. I heard that some scientists were in the jungle and I could go and meet them. So I had to make a detour on my route and go. And eventually I run into this village and I have to cross a river with some fishermen. So I negotiate with the fishermen. It takes time. You know how complicated it is. They always ask you more than they charge the locals. But eventually we agree on a price. They have their boat. They're going to take me and cross to the other side. So I'm happy. I'm like, yay, I won the negotiation. They agreed. Let's do it. Right as I'm prepared to go on the boat, somebody calls me and says, hey, there's an army post here for poachers. And they want to see you and they want to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to cross. And now I've lost the fisherman. I've got to go talk to these guys. I'm going to waste another 3 hours of my day. Jeez. So I'm not in a good mood at all. I'm not happy with that. So I go to these guys. And sure enough, it's a guy that's bigger than me. Like he was 6'5", very muscular. And he's like shouting at me and saying, hey, you know, there's a DRC flag here. You're supposed to report to every place where there's a DRC flag in the country. And we're the army. And why did you not report to us? And blah, blah, blah. Even though I'm just passing through to cross a river, you know. And I just get angry at the guy. And I tell him, look, I'm crossing from Angola to Uganda. Do you know how many DRC flags there are in the country? And like how many freaking posts there are? If I stop for 3 hours at every single post that I see, I'm never going to finish the journey because it's going to take me 7 years just to go 100 kilometers. You know, I cannot report to every flag that I see, dude. Come on. Like, is that a new border? I have my visa. Did I cross into Rwanda? Like, what is this? And then he gets super angry. And because I didn't want my time to be wasted anymore. I'm already sick. I'm trying to go somewhere. I'm doing a detour off my main road to come back. And yet I was still trying to be nice, but then he kind of shout. He was already aggressive before I even said anything. And he was trying to bully me, I think, and make me afraid. And I just called him out. I was just so pissed, Francis. I said, I know exactly what you're doing. You're trying to scare me and waste my time to extort money out of me, just like all your colleagues that I've met so far on this trip. And because obviously I'm not a poacher. My bag is like 20 pounds. You can clearly tell I don't have anything risky on me. I'm just trying to go see the bonobos in the national park. What's the problem? Like, why are you going to waste 3 hours? And I have this fisherman waiting for me now. I've lost my boat because he's probably going to go fishing. So I've lost my negotiation. I'm going to have to find another guy. You're just wasting my time. What's the big deal? And again, he's shouting at me again. And like, because he wants me to just bow down and, oh, yes, sir. Okay. I'm going to give you $50. And I'm sorry for not reporting to you. So the tension builds up and I lost my people skills, like you said. And then at this point, he's like saying that he's a black belt karate fighter. And he's like throwing, like he's saying to me, like, do you want to fight? And he's doing this in my face. He's not hitting my face, but like 1 inch from my face saying he's a black belt karate guy. And to me, that's almost, I felt assaulted a bit because he's like threatening to like kick me in the face with his fist saying that he's a black belt karate guy. And I didn't even think rationally at that point. It's just the animal brain. I just said, oh, you want to fight? And I just grabbed him by the throat sort of thing and like held him like this just to show him like, I'm not afraid of you, dude. Like if you want to fight, I'm already sick, broke, tired. If you're going to fight me, I'm going to fight back. And I just kind of took him like that by the throat. And then immediately his mood changed and he became friends with me. And like suddenly the passport thing was over and like he came back to the river and helped me find another guy to cross. And he like completely changed. So I was lucky, I guess, because in that scenario, it helped. In hindsight, terrible decision, terrible move. Never do that. Completely stupid to have done that because he, you know, he's an army guy. He could have asked his friend to shoot me. Nobody would have known. Terrible decision. Never do that if you're listening and planning to do a similar trip. Big regret. Should have never done that. But somehow it worked in my favor. It could have gone very badly, or in that case, it went well because I think he saw, okay, this guy is really tough. He's not going to bow down easily. He's willing to fight. If I threaten him with my fist, fuck it. He's too much of a pain. I'm not going to take money out of him. And he was like telling me, oh yeah, you could marry a girl from the village here. And like, he was like offering me almost a bride and being super nice. And I almost felt sad. I was like, wow, like, why did I have to be aggressive with him for him to completely turn and become friendly when he was shouting at me and yelling at me like 10 minutes ago? So I don't know what to make of that situation, Francis.
Yeah, it's the fight or flight thing. I'll tell you two quick stories. One, I was getting strangled in an alley in Cameroon, and they were going after my wallet and my cell phone. They quickly grabbed my wallet, but it only had about $10-$15 in it, and the cell phone, I fought it. And I was just thinking about it. These are two huge guys trying to take me on, and I was fighting for my stupid cell phone. They could have had a knife. They could have stabbed me, but for whatever reason, I decided to fight. And in the end, they gave up, and they ran away. And I kept my cell phone. I was able to hold them off. But on a rational level, that was stupid, very stupid. Another friend of mine, Tomas Higby, he was in South Africa, and four guys assaulted him at the same time. And he said, fight or flight. And he decided to just fight. He decided to fight the four guys. Wow. And they were so stunned that this guy was so brazen. It's kind of like, you know, a Wolverine who decides to fight a big tiger. You know, it's like they ran away. They're like, oh, fuck this. This guy. So sometimes it's completely irrational, but that's interesting. How old are you right now?
24.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, is that when you're 24, you're kind of full of testosterone. And the other challenge you had is that you're young. Because you're 24, one thing that I found as I got older, because I started traveling in Africa in my 40s and I ended in my 50s, I guess. And one thing that's good about being old in Africa is that everywhere in Africa, they respect old people. And so these hotheads that you deal with, they would never talk that way to their parents. They know that they're supposed to respect their elders. And so as a result, I could get away with a lot more, and I wouldn't have to defend myself, because I would just have to show my gray beard or my lack of hair, and they would instantly have a bit of respect
you.
Yeah, and it's usually young kids who are manning these checkpoints. And so I was always older than everybody I had to meet. Yeah. And that was a huge advantage. So I commend you for having, you know, the courage to go through there as a young person, because you're actually at a disadvantage. Even though you're stronger than me, my age gives me the benefits that you didn't have.
That's true. The age is a big thing, and I think you're right. This guy was middle-aged. He was probably 35, I think, or mid-30s, I'd say, maybe early 40s. But he was in really good shape and, like, really tall guy, like the tallest guy I met in the DRC. And I think he was just used to commanding people, perhaps, and he had never seen somebody, like, stand up to him. But they, like you said, it's that fight-or-flight instinct. You just don't know how you're going to react. Yeah. And even people who say, like, oh, I would have done this instead. Yeah, it's easy for you to say when you're on your couch. Once you're in this situation, you have no idea how you're going to react. It's instinct.
And that ends this episode of the Wander Learn podcast, where we explore travel, technology, and transformation. If you'd like to see the show notes with links to what we've talked about, go to wanderlearn.com and click on this episode. If you'd like to connect with me, just remember F. Tapon. That's my first initial and my last name. F. Tapon is always my social media username. My website is ftapon.com. Do you want to leave me an anonymous voicemail where you can make a comment or ask a question? Then go to speakpipe.com/ftapon. Furthermore, if you'd like to get rewarded for supporting my projects, then go to patreon.com/ftapon. That's where you can pick up some remarkable rewards for as little as $2 a month. Now, five quick favors. Number one, subscribe to the Wander Learn podcast. Two, download it. Three, share it. Four, review it. And five, sign up for my newsletter at wanderlearn.com. Our theme music was composed by Eric Stratman. This is Francis Tapon, encouraging you to wander and learn.